Councillors, it's gone 5:30. I'll declare the meeting open and I would like to welcome everyone, particularly the members of the public gallery. Welcome. And I'll commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. And I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. Thank you. And if I could also remind people that this meeting is being webcast, so members of the public and councillors and staff should refrain from making defamatory comments. And if you have a mobile phone with you, would you please switch it to silent? Thank you. Okay, we'll commence with apologies.
There are no apologies this evening, Madam Mayor, apart from senior staff member Matthew Sykes, the Council's Chief Financial Officer, who's on annual leave.
Thank you. I'd now like to invite Reverend Gary White to come forward and lead Council in prayer. Reverend White is from the Presbyterian Church and he's here on behalf of the Nambucca Valley Ministers Association. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors and staff, members of the public. It's good to be here. As I said, my name's Gary White. I'm Presbyterian Church. I arrived in early April, having spent 10 years in Newcastle, but glad to be here sharing with you guys in this beautiful valley and leading the Maxwell and Nambucca Heads Presbyterian Church. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for a beautiful part of your world. We thank you for this council. We thank you for another year, the decisions that have been made here over the year, for people who give freely of their time and substance for the flourishing of the people in the Nambucca Valley. And Father, I just pray for these councillors as they meet once again for the last time this year, that you might be with them, enable them to make good decisions that will be for the good of the people here. And Father, we just pray for a break over Christmas New Year for each one, where they might connect with families, with you, with each other in a less formal setting. And Father, I pray that they might be back here in 2023 leading us once again. So Lord, I just commit this meeting to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, everyone.
And should I say welcome? I assume this is your partner.
This is my wife, Margaret. Yes, thank you.
Welcome, Margaret. Disclosures of interest.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have one disclosure of interest this evening, and that's in relation to item number 9.2, Country Mayors Association, and that is in fact from our Mayor, Councillor Rhonda Hoban. It's a non-pecuniary significant conflict.
Thank you. Confirmation of the minutes, councillors, from the ordinary meeting of the 24th of November. Moved Councillor Trevor Ballengarry, seconded Councillor Jenby. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. There are no notices of motion, so we'll go straight to our public forum, and we have some special guests tonight. And I believe we have two speakers. Is it Liston? Have I pronounced that correctly? Liston Scott. And, here's another one. Aya? Have I pronounced that one correctly?
Alaya.
I knew I'd get one of them wrong. And they're part of the Nambucca Youth Advisory Council, but I understand that there's a group of students who are going to come forward. If you'd like to come forward to the rostrum and address council, moral support can come too.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor, councillors and senior staff for allowing us time to address council this evening. We are very appreciative of you giving us this opportunity today. I'm Aaliyah and this is Liston, and all of us are part of the Nambucca Valley Youth Advisory Council. Firstly, I would like to acknowledge that we're meeting on Gumbangia country today. I'd also like to acknowledge all elders past and present and extend our acknowledgement to all First Nations people in the room today. So So, we are a group of independent young people passionate about our community and making a positive change for all young people. We are active members of our community, we all have jobs in the Valley, and we represent the diversity of our generation. We are here today to speak about what is working well in our community, what some of the challenges are that we experience as young people, and some solutions so that we can work together to fix them.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Thank you, Aaliyah, and thank you, Madam Mayor, Council and Senior Staff. My name is Liston, and I also represent the Youth Advisory Council. Whilst there are some challenges that we will address, there are also many things that we love about the Valley. We love the sense of community that the Valley has. We love that the young people here have the strength and courage to talk up. The Valley accommodates employment opportunities for young people, which in return results in the youth here having lots of jobs. We also love the diversity and the differences of young people in our community, and we strive for more acceptance of everyone. The Valley is obviously a beautiful place to live, with amazing scenery, easy access to the beaches. Our air is not polluted, and our greens are still green, and our blues are still blue. Whilst there are many things about the Valley we love, there are still a number of challenges that young people here live with every day. The first challenge we would like to talk about is the issue with transport. School buses are really overcrowded and have become unsafe. There's also a lack of public transport, making it really hard for young people to get around. Generally, the buses that are overcrowded have also been vandalised. We are aware that the transport doesn't fall under the responsibility or the jurisdiction of the local council. However, we need your support to help address the major concern for young people. The second issue we'd like to talk about is that we don't feel like there is anything going on because we aren't informed or involved about any decisions made about our community. There is also a lack of events within our community. Community events help strengthen our sense of community, bring us closer together, and help strengthen the pride in our community. Oh man, voice crack. There is also crime and violence in our community that is stopping young people wanting to go out as they are fearful about what could happen to them. While some young people do commit crime, the majority of us don't, because we are involved in the community and their decisions. Those of us who do not commit crime aren't visible, so when the community talks about how young people cause all of this trouble, we are automatically included in that. As discussed, there are many great things about the Nambucca Valley, but also some challenges. We are very grateful for the opportunity to present to you today. We are asking the Nambucca Valley Council to consider the following requests: support and guidance on how we can get more buses and reduce the following safety issues. We would love to see more community events in Nambucca Valley, such as markets, live music, community movies. Community events help create connection and increase the pride in our community. It helps bring us all together. We need a bigger, more inviting youth space for older kids, with more activities catered in our age group. A youth space also needs to be accessible to young people in Maxville, either one in Maxville or better transport to the one in Nambucca Heads. Most of all, we would like engagement with the Nambucca Valley Council. We want to have a say in what happens in our community as it affects us and it also affects our future. Thank you from all of us. We truly appreciate you for listening to what we have to say and considering these requests. That is all.
Thank you. Before you leave the rostrum, councillors, does anyone have a question for either of the speakers? None? I think it was actually very succinct and very clear what the issues are, so thank you. And as you've obviously discovered, there is an opportunity at every council meeting for any member of the public to come and address council on even on a matter that's not on the agenda, issues that are on the agenda. You can come and address council. Also, all of the plans and so forth, you know, in terms of future plans, whether it be for footpaths or green spaces or development, growth and development, they all go on public exhibition. And are there any finance nerds amongst you? Or our budgets and financial, well, our annual budgets and after Christmas, the staff will start putting together the budget and reviewing our long-term financial plan. So probably shouldn't tell you this, but that's a good time to lobby for anything that you think should be funded. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind that you'll be there competing with a lot of other people who've got things that they believe should be funded, but that's part of the process, and there's absolutely no reason why you can't make a submission or come and address council or have a look at it, make comment on it. And our staff, if you find, like many do, that trolling through the budgets is a little, I don't want to offend our finance staff. If you find that that's not your cup of tea, I'm quite sure that our finance staff, if you rang and asked to speak to them or made an appointment to actually have a sit down with them, would be able to tell you what items there are in the budget that they think would be of interest to young people. And yeah, if you think there's something missing, it's an opportunity to... Yeah, so there are lots of opportunity to have input into the decision making, and please make the most of them. And thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Councillors, can't move a specific motion in relation to any of those items. Like, we can't, because it's a public forum and not a matter on the agenda, we can't actually move that we contact any of the departments, but we could perhaps seek a report on what suggestions the staff might make as to what council... Well, I'll move that council receive a brief report on any opportunities staff can identify to address the issues raised by the Youth Forum Council. Someone seconded Councillor Vance. By that, obviously, you know, one of the things, public transport is not a council matter, but that doesn't mean we can't support their request and actually use their lobbying as a little bit of leverage for us to lobby for, even if it's not a direct public transport system, perhaps some are more subsidised. I know they get student passes, but they're pretty limited in how and where you can use them. Given that we don't have public transport, perhaps the government might consider in communities without a public transport system that they would subsidise recreational travel for young people more than what they currently do. And even an interconnection just between the three towns, because that's the other issue. We don't have the financial capacity to have a swimming pool in every town and a library in Barrable, Nambucca Heads and Maxwell, and a youth centre in all three. But the problem is, if you have one good one, that's great. But if you're transport disadvantaged and it doesn't happen to be in your town, they're the kind of things that I'm sort of thinking that maybe...
Shuttle
things. Well, that's just one. I mean, there were three or four things that the students listed. So if anyone's got any ideas, when it comes back as a report, it'll be an opportunity for councillors, if they think of anything in the interim that we might be able to do, we can then discuss it because we have a report on the agenda. So that's the reason for moving it. So if there's no discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you for that. No questions with notice, none for closed meeting, so we'll go straight to item 9.1. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Item 9.2, page 34. This is the item I declared a conflict of interest in, so I'll ask Councillor Wilson to just take the chair for this item, for 9.2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
me to go up there or just here?
No, you're supposed to come up here and do the job.
We're looking at item 9.2, County Mayors Association, on page 34. Can I have a mover and a second of that, please? Councillor Vance and Councillor Angel, thank you. Any comments? Anyone? Councillor Janvey?
A few things come to mind. I think it's probably better to be in the tent than outside it, but just one thing from the report that which there was a bit of discussion before the meeting, but membership fees of $750, but there's still a prerequisite of 4 trips to Sydney a year. Well, I don't know that you have to attend them all, but for one day of meeting would also be in the cost of doing this. And, you know, there's quite a bit of bubble up with LG New South Wales. Like, I read the what they want to present to the New South Wales election, and some things were good, some things were very conservative in their nature. Things like asking for more money for disaster funding, which is good, but nothing about how the disasters came about, nothing about climate change or anything like that. So I things like TAFE, you know, their skills program. Well, that's good, but it's been the government that have cut TAFE places, and I think it's probably good to get the data. But before TAFE was cut, and it was functioning as our main place where young people got or people got reskilled or whatever, they used to have those connections with Chambers of Commerce and Council, very close working relationships with industry and stuff, and we're pretty well connected. So I'm not sure that there isn't a fair bit of double up in this, but I'm going to support it because I think it's better to be in the tent. But yeah, like I said, there is also local government New South Wales is holding a rural and regional summit in 23, which covers lots of things. So the housing in this, I'd like to have seen a sort of them to be advocating for something like every development to have, you know, a third of it be public housing and affordable housing, things like that. But like I say, it is a bit conservative in its nature.
Thank you. Any other comments? Anyone else? For or against? I'd suggest against it myself, just very briefly, simply because I think it is overdone. We get coverage of an awful lot of what goes on through the publications that we get on our iPads. There also seems to be some reticence about, joining it simply just to be in the loop when they don't appear really to achieve anything, and most of the meetings they seem to have, from what I've read, doesn't really achieve anything much at all. It goes back to local government, New South Wales and all the rest of it, so we still get our... So to my mind, I think it's $750. If we're going to spend it 4 times a year, it just seems a little bit too much to make it worthwhile.
Sorry, Councillor, that's the annual. It's a one-off.
Annual.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I misunderstood that. I thought we had to attend at least 4. So it's not quite as outlandish, of course, if it's only $750 a year, but I don't know that we actually get anything else out of it, so I would personally vote against it, but it's up to everyone else however they feel. So any other comments? No comments? Okay, so I'll put it to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? 3-4?
I'm against.
Or against?
Against.
Against. I think we might have...
So can we just have clarification that policy?
Can we vote again, please? Those in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4. Those against? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Your call.
Fortunately, I have the casting vote, so I'm sorry about those in favour. The motion is lost. Can we get the mayor back in and I'll vacate the seat? I didn't scribble on your pad, so.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Page 36, item 10.1.
I'll move that, Madam Mayor.
I'll second, seeing as moved
Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Wilson. Is there any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 38, item 10.2. Moved Councillor Ricky Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Janvey. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 48, item 10.3. Moved Councillor Vance, seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
Any idea on when the Interagency Funding Committee might get back to Council on VUCA, on recommendation number two? Through you, Madam Mayor, to the General Manager. Question?
Happy to take that, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. So... we have received an email just late this afternoon seeking clarification of some of the reports that they were waiting on from us, and there's been a bit of miscommunication, we think. We're actually waiting on responses from them for the funding commitment, so perhaps Ms. Borah can add some more light. But at the moment, we haven't heard anything from any of those funding agencies, and we're still waiting.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, the General Manager's alluded to the fact that we received an email today from Infrastructure New South Wales. They were actually chasing an updated report other than the one we tabled at a meeting we held on the 27th of September. However, we believe that the report we gave them was the up-to-date one with all the figures and the QS, the quantities, etc., in relation to the expected costs for VUCA. However, they seem to believe, I don't know where the miscommunication has come, that they were going to get a more updated report, but we couldn't give them anything more updated than we have. Essentially, we can't go to tender until we know we have the funding. And the QS and the expected costs of VUCA are a lot more substantial than originally when we started out with this project. And I've spoken with Wayne Lowe, our Manager of Business Development today, as well as returning an email to Infrastructure New South Wales identifying that we would get back to them tomorrow. Mr. Lowe's prepared a report that myself and the General Manager will have a read through tomorrow and identify what we think was the issue, and what the outcome from that meeting was that we were expecting to hear back from the three funding bodies, which were the Community Development Grant, which was the federal money of 3.2, the Infrastructure New South Wales Grant, which was the 5 million, and then the 3 million from Department of, or DPI, Department of Primary Industry and Environment. And we were waiting to hear back from them whether they could actually find any more outcomes or anything for us to move forward. So I think there's... I'm actually finding quite surprising that we got this email today. So hopefully we'll be able to get a little bit more information to them, identify that we did provide the report that they were after, and that we're waiting on a response from them in terms of how we're going to move forward with VUGA.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Borer. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 51, item 10.4.
Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
In shifting the change of donation from 1,000 to 300, what's the word for when you hand out grants or anyway, the council is the sorry, I can't find the piece of paper I wrote my stuff on. But when you divide the 19,500 by 300, it's about 258 separate donations or something, I think I got, or some figure like that. The service level for council to acquit these grants is quite high, isn't it? And staff resourcing and service levels?
I guess there'd be additional work in each one, but being a dialysis patient, I mean, it's not that hard to establish that someone's a patient. So you either are or you aren't. I'm sure they'd have quite easily be able to establish that they fit the guidelines.
Well, we've got 24 patients in Nambucca, but it's spreading it further afield to Coffs and Kempsey.
Well, no, we're not... No. If you read the report carefully, it makes very clear that it's about Nambucca Valley patients having to travel
further afield
to Coffs Harbour and Kempsey. Yep. There are some patients that need to be at a hospital where there is a greater support network, usually because they have other illnesses as well, so infection risk or, you know, if they have a heart condition, for example, they may not be suitable for dialysis locally or home dialysis.
Well, I just brought it up because it said service level changes and resourcing staff implications. Just, it says no variance to service levels and staff resourcing.
Well, I read that as the staff saying that it's not going to be a huge impost. If it was, they should be reporting that it will be.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I know it's a very worthwhile thing, but anyway, I'm supporting it. Just pointing it out. There's a lot more $300 donations than $1,000 donations.
So. Well, and I think we're also somewhat obligated to pay heed to the wishes of the
dialysis
committee, because they're the people who actually raised this money, and it's the actual fundraisers who have spent 20 years raising the money that have asked for this change to the policy. So they're all people who are closely involved with dialysis patients or have been at some point over the last 20 years.
Yeah, but so we should be allowed to say that there is a change in service levelling with the change to the policy.
No one's saying that we're not allowed to say that there's a change in service level. There's obviously a little more work for staff, but as I said, if the report writer would have or should have told the council if there were concerns that changing it to this was going to create a workload that was unacceptable to council staff or that we couldn't cover. The report writer is sitting here, so if you want to ask that question via the general manager, you're welcome to, Councillor Janvey.
Could I ask...
Ms. Borer wrote the report, and she's the person who does the acquittals, so I'm just assuming that she knows what she's... what's involved, and that's why it's not been... Yeah, I just want to check first whether Councillor Janvey wants an answer to that directly.
Yeah, why not, seeing as I've talked about it. Thank you.
Through the General Manager. To answer that question, essentially there's no change to staff resources because there's only one staff member doing it. So that would be me. Essentially the donations, what I tend to do with our donations within that we do, the $500 cap donations, as well as these, which will be a $300 cap donation, I've generated a register within our authority system, and the process with that, I set up templates, I set up processes to pay those, and the onus is quite a simple one in terms of how we have the mechanism working behind the scenes. It's just a matter of me making sure I keep on top of that. But the registers, the way I've generated them and set them up, means that I'm flagged, reminders and et cetera and things like that. And as the Mayor did allude to, I've sat down with the committee, and when I first wrote the policy, we didn't know how much money we were getting in. It wasn't until I sat down with them, because one of the ladies that has been on the committee, who's now in her 80s, had been away, and I had to wait till she came back. And she wanted to make sure that money goes further than just capping it at $1,000. Now, the idea of the $300 cap is that potentially we could do that twice a year, as long as they can provide receipts, etc., or identify that they've spent that money, which is on the same onus as we do with our donations, essentially. So it's just a matter of keeping on top of that. But we do have a register that we set up for that, and we just work around that as we go. But it's, for me, it's about the community involvement and being able to move forward that money that they've fundraised for a long time. So it's of a great benefit to the community and those on dialysis. And as I say, 24 people at $300 is $7,200 in one hit anyway. So it doesn't take long to move your way through that $19,500.
Yep.
Okay. We do have, with this policy, we have the limit of that $9,500 and then it's done.
Yes.
So that's the other thing. If there is any increase, perhaps in the little bit of time I spend on doing the donations, it's essentially for a very, it's a shorter lived period of time than our donations program, say.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jones.
I was just going to say, this dialysis, I spend a fair bit of time with dialysis patients. It's a very complex area because there's a whole range of different subgroups within it, if you like. There's elderly, disabled, blah, blah, blah. It's where I was going with it, do we have some, I mean, some people probably wouldn't want the 300. Are we having any criteria, or does the committee that's given us this money have any criteria about eligibility, or
through the general manager? Basically, I sat down with the committee to identify our application form and what they wanted on there. Essentially, the only major thing is it's for that person asking for funding has to be a Nambucca Valley resident.
Okay.
And identify that. Obviously, any details in regards to their health or their dialysis treatment have to remain confidential. So none of that would go any further than that application coming into council and being stored, and then the approvals will go through the general manager and the mayor without having to coming back to council. And that was one of the things I put in the policy. So essentially, it's one of the biggest criteria is that because the money was raised in the Nambucca Valley, they want it to go to Nambucca Valley patients. So does that answer the?
Yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, I suppose my sense is that there are quite a number who wouldn't access the money because they probably think other people need it more or whatever. It's a very generous, genuine subgroup. And, so that money might go a little bit further is what I'm saying. The 24 might not all take it up.
Hey, thank you. I guess the same applies to our donations budget. It's there for any community group or organisation to apply for, but they don't all necessarily apply. Some apply very often, some rarely, and some don't apply at all if they're successfully fundraising. So I guess that's a decision for them. It's not something that we've got any control over. So I did want to ask a question. You know, we have 24 dialysis patients. How will we provide that knowledge to dialysis patients that the fund is there, if I can ask, through the general manager?
Through the general manager. The proposal, I believe, when this was first tabled by council was that we would do a media release, and that will be done at this stage because we've only just had the money come through from the committee. and we're adjusting this policy, that media release won't be done until early 2023. That will also be on council's website and potentially Facebook as well. So that's how we will notify people. And Rona Freeman and Mrs. Croker were very, Julie Croker, were very supportive of that, and also said they would let people know through their channels. So I think it'll be something that will be easy to let those patients and carers of patients, not just the patients, because sometimes those patients aren't able to fill out that paperwork. So that's the whole idea too. We'll be made aware that that funding and that dialysis policy of donations is available.
Most of them are going to the Fred Brain facility now. It's moved from Mumba Street.
It's at the Health One facility at Nambucca Heads.
Down to Fred Brain Street or whatever it's called. I mean, even if we sent 24 letters down there.
Well, the reason that I asked, and I think I suggested at the time a media release, but I don't think that I included it in the original notice of motion, so it wasn't actually a resolution of council. The other thing we need to consider is that as, you know, as time goes by, people suddenly find that they need dialysis. So it's not just about letting people know that the committee would be familiar with because they've been having dialysis for years. And the other reason that I asked is because a new resident to the Nambucca Valley may also require dialysis, and if they're a resident, they're eligible, but may not be aware of. So that was why I was asking about, you know, media release or on our website or anything along those lines. Thank you, Ms. Bora. So if there's, is there any other discussion on this item? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 53, item 10.5.
Move.
Moved Councillor Jenby. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 55, item 10.6.
I move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page, you know, there's no late reports in the general, in the corporate services report, is there?
No,
it's in confidential. Okay. Page 56, item 11.1.
Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
I've no objection to $5 per night. It's pretty cheap to camp out there. I just wanted to note that a lot of people have camp out there with their dogs, because it's dogs are allowed on the campus, and it's a real attraction for the site. I've got a friend that lives nearby, and they walk their dog there, and they're always meeting the other dog owners who are camping. So maybe some of that money could be spent on a dog fence or something in the future. Like, it is on the map as a camping place that allows dogs, so it's quite popular in that regard.
I think the funding goes to the committee.
They get
to decide. It's a source of fundraising, so it's not up to us to determine where the funding.
Oh yes, okay.
The money goes. They're a 355 committee of council. They manage it and they collect the fees, and it's the committee who'll decide where the fee money gets spent, is my understanding. Yes, Mr. Walters is confirming that.
Ever get round to fencing some dog parks in Nambucca, maybe we should consider Taylor's Arm when we're at it then. So, and Maxwell.
Councillor Jenby, I think we had a report in the past because we had a request, and all of the recommendations were against a fenced dog park. Apparently they're worse than an unfenced area for... I think there was a request for, particularly for smaller dogs, but apparently there are more dog deaths and dog fights in fenced areas because there's no escape if there's a larger dog takes to a smaller dog, or a dog feels threatened by a child. And
there's quite a lot of people in Nambucca who would like a fenced dog park?
It was a query that came from people in Nambucca, and our staff did a full investigation.
You want to get dogs off the beach, some of those beaches?
We have. I'm just letting you know that this council has considered that previously, and from memory, RSPCA were consulted, the government agencies that deal with the Companion Animals Act. I think, again, Mr. Walsh, did you write that report? If I could ask Mr. Walsh through the General Manager to... My memory might be failing me. Mr. Walsh.
Yes, so it was a recommendation. Mainly led by was a... I've gone blank on his name. There was a leading dog trainer and dog handler. Very experienced in terms of dog attacks. And, yeah, the issues were in terms of fenced areas, unless you've set it up that it's extremely large and you've got separated areas for... large dogs and small dogs, even that's no fail-safe. When dogs can't escape, then you do tend, when they get backed into a corner, to defend themselves. So the what was the last recommendation that came before council was an open dog area down here in Maxwell at the end of Dudley Street in the slashed area. But, yeah, that wasn't successful. But that was the idea there was to have it as an open area.
So it wasn't about not getting...
It was councillors who wanted it fenced, if I remember correctly.
No, it wasn't. It was... There were representations. There was a lady, because she made representations to me, and she came and addressed council. Can't think of her name. She had small dogs, and she wanted somewhere that... She was particular about it being... Large dogs not being allowed in it. But it's not about keeping dogs off beaches... It's only the fencing part that is the issue. Obviously, you know, we need places and spaces that are suitable for people to walk dogs or have dogs off-leash, on a leash and so forth. But it was the fencing aspect that was recommended against because it actually causes the problems that a lot of us thought that it would solve. I personally thought, oh, well, that sounds like a reasonable idea or a request until I... heard what the professional advice was and that there are actually more dog fights, dog attacks and people getting, like, people and children being hurt as well as one dog attacking another in a fenced area than there are in open space areas. Okay, any other discussion on this item? If not, I'll put it, those in favour, against, it's carried, page 58, item 11.2.
I'll move this.
Move Councillor Jenby. Seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Councillor Jenby.
It's a shame we have to rush the speed of this to meet the grants. And... I mean, the whole idea was to look down Princess Street and not see a toilet, and I'm not sure that site one, you wouldn't catch it, and it has got some constraints, and I'm not sure how the Cafe Roses might feel about it being closer and all that sort of stuff. But site two, in my mind, would have been ideal, but the loss of three parking spaces is just unacceptable in Maxwell. Even the loss of one down there is a bit tricky. It would have been good to had, you know, for council to have brought an empty shop or something like that. I would have quite liked to have seen, like they have up in Dorrigo, an amenity in the main street somewhere. But anyway, it seems like it's the best of what can happen. So that's why I'm supporting it at this stage.
Councillor Janvey, you'll recall that it took years, your comment about this being rushed, the master plan and...
Not rushed, we had the planning of it, it's rushed to meet the grant requirement that it has to be built in 6 months.
But these three areas were all identified and discussed previously, and the idea of the buying a shop like in Dorrigo, that was actually floated, and it was considered by the Business Advisory Committee, and all of the shopkeepers were against it. They didn't want a toilet block right next to premises and on the same side as the street as the entrances to shops, for a number of reasons. Some thought that any bad behaviour that occurs in the toilet blocks is going to come to the front entrances to their shop and deter patrons or customers, and some were concerned about things like odour or if there were problems with the, I assume, with the toilets not working properly. And the council, you'll recall, I think you were on council at the time, Councillor Jen, we did consider looking at that block of land that came up for sale. But the price of it, yeah, it's so in your term, because yep. Councillor Jones is nodding. Yep. There was an ideal site, but the price that was being asked for the block of land, we just couldn't, because we looked at it for both the toilet block and from memory for additional parking, wasn't it? Yeah. So we have done our very best to find, to not look down the street and see the toilet block, but yeah, at some point we've just got to accept that we're limited by available options, and we really do need to do something about that old toilet block. Those things have certainly been considered. Is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 63, item 11.3. Moved, Councillor Genvey. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
A pity we didn't get the voluntary house raising grant. There's obviously a real need there, and it's good that council's going to write to them, because I'd imagine they are a bit fearful and have had hopes raised and all that sort of thing. And if we have to prioritise those with the highest risk next time and try again, that's what it is. It's a pity we just got the small signage on the poles, the flood awareness, but people do need to be aware of floods, so, yep.
Yes, well, frankly, I think it's an appalling decision, particularly the amount of work that I know went into these expressions of interest. You'll recall we had to develop a policy. We did all of that work. This council considered it, adopted the policy. There was an enormous amount of work that council staff had to do. First of all, we had to have the expressions of interest. Then there was all of the work that went with actually supporting those. You know, you have to show that those houses need to be raised. And the bleedingly obvious is the fact that we know that in a 1 in 20 year flood, we have 47 homes, I think it is, that will definitely go under. And in a 1 in 100 year flood, we have 345 homes that will flood at floor level. And I think we're all getting the idea that what was a 1 in 20 year flood, if all of the predictions are correct, what we used to consider a 1 in 20 year flood is now becoming a 1 in 5 year flood, and what was a 1 in 100 year flood will more than likely be a 1 in 20 year flood. Now, if that's the case, and we know we've got 345 homes that will go under every single time, you know, the last time we had the Defence Force here, the cost to the public purse of continually dealing with this over and over, I mean, there's an old saying about the definition of stupidity is, you know, to do the same thing over and over and over and expect a different outcome. We know that these homes have flooded in the past and will flood again. And in this case, there's a significant contribution from the homeowners, whereas if you have a devastating flood, like we've seen elsewhere, the public purse is expected to foot the bill virtually for everything, as well as the clean-up and rescues and all of those sort of things. So to me, it's a no-brainer to spend money on prevention rather than spend it later on dealing with the consequences. So for all of the talk that we've heard and all of the, if I hear the word resilience one more time, and about building resilience, here was a wonderful opportunity to build some resilience What did we get? Some markers on a flood pole. I could have gone down with a tape measure and painted a few markers myself. And I know they'll be pretty markers and I should be grateful, but, you know, in terms of what was worthy out of this, I really think that the house raising program would have been far better expenditure of public money. And I think someone else had better write the letter. Cause Councillor Janvey, then Councillor Jones.
Through another thing, but I've come across this. It's a flood prevention measure of these demountable with a sealed front instead of sandbagging, which takes 10 men, whatever, hours to make a metre high. These are 2.8 metres and you can put them all along the riverbank and stuff. But
they're very
geo-design.
Yeah, they're very expensive and they've been around for years. They actually use them in some towns as, what do you call them?
Levees or something.
Levees, yeah. They can be built and interlock. But the cost of floodproofing one home with those it'd be cheaper to raise the houses.
If we, through local government areas or something, like we don't all flood at the same time, I suppose.
Generally,
I don't know where you're going to flood,
though, isn't it? Well, Coffs doesn't quite flood as much as Nambucca
It's very rare that only one river catchment on the north coast is in flood. I think there'd be huge demand. The other issue with them is storing them.
Yeah, you've got to store them.
In non-flood time.
Yeah.
Whereas if you raise someone's house, you don't have that issue either. And again, the houses that were eligible for the flood raising, the other point that I need to make is that they weren't in high hazard floodways.
Yep.
They're houses that, you know, they're still, their property, their block of land is still going to flood, but this is about not having damage to homes and for people who don't have health issues, and it's a short-term flooding that they don't necessarily have to be evacuated. All of that costs money too. Someone has to pay for all of that. And I think it was only yesterday there was a call for more funding for boats and rescue vehicles. If you've got all of your houses above flood level, you don't need the boats and the rescue vehicles, not unless someone has a medical issue. And hopefully if that's identified, they're the people that you do evacuate and you do it before the flood. But anyway, obviously someone knows better than us. Councillor Jones.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just agree with the speakers. It's incomprehensible, really. Just an unbelievable decision. The only thing I was going to add was that maybe we could pop this into our wish list for the upcoming circus known as the New South Wales State Election, Madam Mayor, and have it in our priorities that we'd like this to be revisited and maybe broadened, because I think it's such a common sense, worthwhile and valuable and powerful, important.
Well, we put that in. I made a personal submission. You'll recall the council made a submission to the state flood inquiry, and we put that in. The house raising program should have even more funding put behind it. And I can't remember if council did, but I know I made a submission as mayor to the federal inquiry as well for the same reason. And I know local government New South Wales has done the same. I think pretty well every council in New South Wales that's been flood affected in the last 3 years has asked for this.
I don't know. Do I need to add a point four with an amendment that we add this to our list of priorities? It's probably there anyway, but
No harm in asking again.
Yeah, if Councillor Janvey and Wilson are happy, I'll do that. If not, I'll just move an amendment.
I'm happy.
Okay, could I add a point four that Council prioritise this project in its list of, what would you say, its wish list for the upcoming state election? I'm happy for that to be changed by...
Maybe if you just have the council add the house raising program to its priority list.
Maybe that.
Or election funding commitments. That's a nice way of saying promises.
Yep, thank you, Madam Mayor. That'd be
wish
good.
List.
If the mover and seconder are happy, I think that.
Its priority, to its list of priority issues. Upcoming state election funding commitments. Councillor Jones and the mover and seconder happy with that now that the wording's up there? Right, if there's no other discussion, then I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 66, item 11.4. Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 68, item 11.5. Moved Councillor Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 69, item 11.6. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 70, item 11.7. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 72, item 12.1. Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Janvey. Any discussion? Councillor Buchanan.
I've had a fair few discussions with people in Scott's Head. Because I'm out there all the time with work and everything. And I don't know where I read it because I haven't taken notes on it, but somewhere mentioned something about site number 3, the Valley Green, the
Village
Head
Green.
Village Green, sorry, yes. I'm happy to support, but I'm just mentioning that most people are either preferring that as community or I think it was site number 2 or 4 or something that's just over near, just on the other side of the tennis courts.
Mm-hmm. In the old Aden Street Oval area?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, full support for getting something going for Scott's Head there. They've been asking for it for a little while. Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Councillor Janvey.
Councillor Buchanan's right. There were 75 participants out of the 200 locked option 3, which is in front of the village, sort of smack in the middle of the Village Green. And, you know, it's perfectly situated for surveillance and for people to grab a drink at the shop and to come and watch the skaters and scooters and the basketballers. This is something that Scott's Head said they wanted, and we're going to receive a separate report on with a bit more detail, aren't we, in costs?
Well, that's the time to speak to the 3 or 4 options.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be surprised that I think that's the time that hopefully we'll hear. from some of the people in the community directly as well.
Yep.
And presumably those concept plans will be available for people to look at, which will make it sort of more real once they can actually see the concept plans. All right, if there's no other discussion on this particular recommendation, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 76, item 12.2.
I move it, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour?
I'd like to discuss this.
Well, no hands went up, so. Okay, Councillor Janvey. I haven't called the vote, so.
Okay, oh, good. Well, I'm not going to support the recommendation as it is. Because there's a few issues. If 80% of all residents in urban areas rang for a dial-up pickup, how much would that cost compared to what it costs us now? Negotiating with the contractor, I'm sure he's going to want to stick to the contract. It would have been good to see what we actually said there around in the contract around breaking it to make this decision. And I just really believe that council could work far more with the contractor. This is all people get from the contractor around education of what goes in the piles, when you're going to be collected. As far as I can tell, that's what sits on my fridge. I just think we could do a lot more work around educating people, and we could make it a media story, you know, that the campaign to educate people becomes the media story that, you know, you don't want to lose this bulky goods collection because it's something people really like, and you just need to manage the time and the place where people put their stuff out and make sure they put the right stuff out. So I'm all for a really concerted education campaign that where councillors are engaged, where we have meetings, where we use variable message boards, we use everything at our disposal, plus we ride the contractor far more to do a lot more around education as well. So on those grounds, I won't be supporting this.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other discussion? Councillor Jones.
Just to add, I'm voting against as well, and it's in a way, it's sometimes in this sort of situation, what happens is the majority of people behave well, and there are issues with it around timing, etc., but the majority of people appreciate it, and it's the bad eggs that spoil it. And unfortunately, I think the where it's probably hit the wall, and I don't know, I just think we could work again to try and resolve it, is the rural areas, because it is a bit of a disgrace. But I'll be voting against it on the premise that we could double our efforts, if you like, to try and solve those problems, because I do think, especially in urban areas, it does really help with the lack of, with stopping people accumulating rubbish under their houses, in their sheds. It's a health issue for me, but it's also an equity issue around people who don't have trailers or utes or trucks or whatever. So anyway, I hear the community concern, and I think it's not a black and white issue, but I'll be voting against it.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against?
No.
Motion's lost. Page 80, item
12.3. Moved
Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Angel. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 82, item 12.4.
Happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved, Councillor Jones.
Second.
Seconded, Councillor Angel. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
This arose, I wasn't here at the time, but a gentleman came in and spoke to the need for a footpath in Maxwell. This is correct? Well, I'm just wondering if could have make an amendment for a fourth dot point is, now when we're applying for funding for active transport.
Sorry, a fourth dot point?
Yep.
There's only one recommendation.
Oh, sorry. A second dot point then. Sorry, I was in the options. That we include Highland Park. The people at Highland Park have been lobbying for a footpath for many years. They've run petitions in the past. You know, there's families there. There's people with disabilities. They've got kids on bikes with no verge to ride on a 100-kilometre road. You know, that community there has been waiting for a footpath for a long time. And
Councillor Janvey, this the recommendation or the motion that's on the floor is to seek funding for a path.
Well, could we include Highland Park when we seek funding?
Well, you'll recall the previous reports that came to Council on Highland Park. Before we can seek funding, we need a plan design. We don't have it.
Well, we wouldn't have one up to East Street in Maxwell, would we either?
It's a short section. It doesn't have the... Well, to me, this one may have some issues with the riverbank erosion. But the issue with the Highland Park one, if you'll recall from the report that came to Council, is that you've got electricity line easements and forestry land. We don't own the land.
I know, but we never seem to progress it. Could we have a report?
Well, we can't. What I'm trying to say is we can't apply to a funding body for funding to build something on land that we don't actually own the land.
No, but we never seem to negotiate with forestry or anyone and progress this. It's probably 10 years these people have been asking for a footpath.
Oh, it's longer than 10 years.
Longer.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe could we have a report? Because I'd also like to, you know, an update on what's happening on Ginnegay Way and how we could prioritise Highland Park.
But this item is on River Street.
Yep.
Can I suggest that you go away and prepare a notice of motion and actually set out what you want to report on and what you want included?
Okay.
If it's several cycleways or...
Only those two. They're the priority in my mind, so...
Yeah, Madam Mayor, moving this, I certainly didn't want to exclude any other options. Just this is the one before us, so you know, I just wanted to speak to this one. But I hear what Councillor Jembry saying, and there is a movement there with our demographic as well. People are using gophers, is that what they're called?
Yep.
There's a whole lot of mobility issues, people are using pushers. And
I can remember, would be 25 years ago, writing letters asking, as PNC president, for a footpath. Cycleway and footpath from Highland Park because of the three schools there. Yeah, a lot of the parents.
Certainly something I'd support if we get a notice of motion or something, but yeah.
I'll just ask through the General Manager for Mr. Walsh to make comment.
Yep, Mr. Walsh.
Through the General Manager, councillors, we actually do have a grant application being prepared at the moment for cycleway and pedestrian links within the valley. So we're currently compiling a list of potential paths. Highland Park concept design is on that list that we've prepared so far. What I can suggest is we forward through that to councillors for any input in terms of ideas that you've got for that that consideration. And then once we've applied for that, we could then report that back to council in terms of this is what we're going for, depending on cut-off dates, but if not, we could report back whether we're successful as an option.
Okay. Okay. That sounds like... Sounds good. Yeah. Okay, and again, I was going to suggest that calling for a report, we forever call for reports. If you want to do something, your motion should be that we actually take some action. We can sit here for another 20 years and complain that no approaches are made to forestry or no approaches are made calling for reports. Me is just a lot of staff time. If you want approach made to forestry, that's what you move. Okay. If there's no other discussion, I'll put this. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 85, item 12.5. Moved, Councillor Angel. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 87, item 12.6. Moved, Councillor Vance, seconded Councillor Angel. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 90, item 12.7. Moved, Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion?
Madam Mayor,
Angel.
Through the General Manager, are we potentially thinking going back out in the field was only one tender received, or we just accept that? She's sort of a bit of competition. I know it's gone out, but do we go again and see what's out there, or do we accept this one tender?
I wondered the same thing.
Well, thanks, Council. I'll have to take that on notice, but my initial thoughts are, yes, we could go back out, but I was of the understanding it's a very specialised area, specialised field. I really don't know how many would be able to respond to a tender. I'll have to take that on notice, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Apart from that, I'm not really sure that be meeting some of the tender regulations by not doing at least preliminary some sort of assessment, to simply accept a tender without doing any evaluation or ground. What's the legality of that in terms of the tendering regulations? Is there not sort of still a probity requirement?
Again, Madam Chair, it depends on whether they're a sole provider, specialised. I have to take that on notice. So,
yeah, but they might be in liquidation, or they may have a poor reputation. Or I'm not suggesting that applies to this company, but I would think there'd be some level of assessment of their suitability. That's part of a normal tender assessment. Is not just about the price; it's also about reliability and previous experience. Sorry?
It's referee checks here in page.
Yeah, but
18.
Is that all that's required, and can we legally, without sort of looking at comparative prices, or just want to make sure that we're not going outside the tendering regulations?
Madam Mayor, my concern is it's almost double the tendered amount, the amount allocated. We're almost double.
I was going to ask the question, how did it end up being double what was allocated? What did we base that allocation on? I seem to recall there was a report on this some time ago, came to council. So what do we believe is the reason that our costing that, or what did we base our costing on? Does anybody, again, that might be something you need to take on notice if there are other questions coming back. I'm curious as to why. That's what I mean. We're in an open council meeting, and what I mean in relation to probity and checking other prices, if we're in a situation where someone becomes aware that they might be the only person tendering,
yeah.
I'm just hoping that no microphone picked that up, but thank you. That's sort of what I'm alluding to, and I'm questioning whether there's any sort of probity requirement under those circumstances to check that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking public money, so we are required to ensure that there's a level of scrutiny and value in spending public money, and if we think that perhaps there's not, do we have any obligation to test the market again, go elsewhere, report monopolising behaviour, or I'm just not sure what rules, regulations and laws might apply. I'm just very surprised. I mean, we know that materials have increased, but it's not that long ago, I don't think. Maybe it's longer than I think it is. I don't think it's that long ago that we had this reported to council and we came up with this allocation. And I'm just wondering what's happened for it to suddenly become so very, very high. Councillor Genvey.
Well, we move to defer it. Move to defer it then, and we come back with the probity around having...
Well, I'll ask the general manager whether there's any issue in deferring this till, say, the January meeting, or is there a level of urgency to getting this work done?
No, we can defer it, Madam Chair. We'll come back with...
There's no major issue with that?
Yep.
The price they have quoted, does it last till January, or...?
Madam Mayor, we'll have to check on that, and we'll come back... more information around the financing of it.
Well, it's just, all I'm asking is if this price expires and January comes, could they resubmit and it be even higher again? Like, how long was the price current for? Does anyone know? You know how normally when people give a quote, there's a time limit on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, does somebody want to move? Someone suggested deferring it? Moved Councillor Janvey, seconded Councillor Buchanan. It still relates to a tender. Oh, sorry. So no one, did anyone move? Did we have a mover and second to begin with?
Yes.
That'll become an amendment. So there's an amendment from Councillor Janvey, seconded Councillor Buchanan. We defer until the January meeting. If there's no discussion on the amendment to defer, I'm going to put that. Those in favour?
Stand.
Against?
Stand, if it's a tender? No.
Well, it's an amendment at this stage. It's carried. It's now the motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Now I'm going to put that. Those in favour, please stand. Thank you. There being none against, I'll declare it carried. Page 92, item 12.8. Moved Councillor Trevor Ballengarry, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. And there are no late reports for open, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting, please? Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Okay, councillors, we're now back in open meeting, so I'll ask the general manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, in relation to item 13.1, the UV and chlorine dosing upgrades, that council note the information provided in the report. In relation to item 13.2, matters regarding realised or potential losses, that the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation be received. In relation to item 13.4, Council resolved that they accept the variation of rates to T006/2021 Rural and Urban Road Rehabilitation Works as specified in the report. In relation to item 13.5, Council endorsed the appointment of the successful candidate as identified in confidential session as Director of Corporate Services in accordance with the standard contract of employment for senior staff for a fixed term of 5 years commencing 3rd January 2023. In relation to item 13.3, Council resolved that Council note the review of the organisational structure. Council has provided the General Manager with any feedback they have on the appropriateness or otherwise of Council's organisation structure. Council note the proposed changes to position titles. Approve the creation of work orders for consultants to prepare plans of management for public reserves. Review the asset management plans and GIS updates. Funding for the consultants to be taken from W3452. Brackets $23,700. W1210 $32,750. You, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillors, there's no further business in being the last council meeting for 2022. I'd first of all like to thank our senior staff in particular, especially those that attend meetings, and very special thanks to Lorraine, our minute taker, and I'd ask her to pass that on to Rochelle as well. They're the people who have to sit there and try to make sense of, especially when the Mayor's making up a resolution on the hop and changing the sentence structure 4 and 5 times after she's typed it. So thank you very much for your help and support and patience, Lorraine. Thank you to all the senior staff for their support and their advice and attending the meetings and answering our questions, whether it's at council meetings or during the day or during business hours and on weekends in some cases. And to everyone, to the councillors in particular, thank you also for your patience and courtesy in the way you've conducted yourselves. It's virtually 12 months now for the new councillors. And compared to what I've seen from some other councils and the interaction between the new councillors and the returning ones, and I'm quite proud of the fact that this is a very functional and respectful council, but still one where people are free to have a different point of view but generally treat one another respectfully. That's not the case if you listen to some of the other council meetings that occur, and they're quite... they'd be entertaining if it weren't for the fact that they're actually people who are making decisions on behalf of their community and supposed to be in roles of leadership. So thank you all for a good year. And I wanted to just wish everyone, staff and councillors, a merry and safe and happy Christmas. And I always say, don't do anything that I wouldn't do, and that actually allows you significant leeway, but it's short of doing anything so stupid that you won't be back here next year to join us.
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to, on behalf of all of our staff, thank the councillors, the Mayor and the councillors, for their support during the year. It's been very much appreciated. And on behalf of the staff here, I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy and Safe New Year. Thank you again.
Thank you, and there being no further business, I'll declare the meeting closed. Merry Christmas.